tender and warm. Down in the Ozarks, back on the farm, I see my mother.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this and that and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten your day. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Sam McQuarter. Just met him this morning. He's the fellow who's does your poetry from 9 to 10 o'clock at night. And I'm glad to have him. Jimmy's out at... Jimmy Kendrick's out at Heritage. And thank you, Sam. Talk about heat. I wonder if this weather suits us. I often wonder if anything really suits us. Now, I just wonder. I doubt it. I was reading Hal Boyle's column. I always like him so much. He's funny. He said, no wonder everything you want to do seems illegal. There are 2 million laws enforced in the United States today. That's what he said. How on earth do we keep from breaking one of them every hour in the day? 2 million laws enforced in America. Oh, Hal Boyle is always telling a lot of little-known facts. He said your hair, if it's in good condition, should be strong enough to lift the weight of a plow horse. Well, how are you going to lift a plow horse with bobbed hair? I don't think you could. Think of that, though. And he said also that 7 out of every 10 Americans have defective eyesight. That's a tragic thing. According to research made by the Better Vision Institute, he said that is. And he said 5 million old automobiles were scrapped in this country in 1962. 5 million. Where on earth do they go? You know, you can't burn or melt or do away with all of them. Anyway, you can't destroy matter, the scientists say. Anyway, you can't destroy matter. You just change its form. You know, if you could just vision in your imagination 5 million old automobiles, it's like the fact I told you of recently that 10 million people starve to death each day in the world. That's what they say, 10 million. I guess two-thirds of them are children. Oh, my. Now imagine, if you can, looking across a great area of land at 10 million new graves each day. Well, we're in a heck of a bewildered world, and who knows what the outcome will be. World, oh world of muddled men, seek the peace of God again, in the humble faith that kneels, in the hallowed word that heals, in the hills that hold the sky and the star you pull your heart up by. In the hope that answers doubt, and love that drives the darkness out. Frantic, frightened, foolish men, take God by the hand again. That's the truth. World of muddled men. Just to stop an instant, I want to say hello to the Barrie tourists that I met last night, as I always do on Saturday night at the Kentwood Arms Hotel. They're in their big bus going back to St. Louis this morning. I know they had a wonderful time in our storied land, the land of the Ozarks. And I send my love to you and happy journey. Hope to see you again, as they say in the hamburger stands. Hurry back. Hurry back. Well, I have an interesting birthday to mention this morning. Aunt Hattie Fox at Fairplay was 100 years old yesterday. Oh, we have so many people in our Ozarks 100 years old. It's amazing. Miss Dr. Charles Brown, widow of that beloved doctor of Fairplay for so many years, she called me and told me about Aunt Hattie. Said she wanted to chat with me anyway. And I'm sending my best love and all the best wishes of KWTO to Aunt Hattie. Mrs. Brown said we live in a senior citizens town here in Fairplay. She told me about some of her friends around near her there, and it is amazing. I wonder what keeps them all into the years down there at Fairplay. I wonder what they drink. It must be pure good water, I know that. Miss Brown herself is 88, and she talks like she's 48. And she's the aunt of my sweet friend here, Miss Jo Ben Wan. Then she told me about Mrs. Underwood, who's 89, And I think she said Alice Dial, who's 97, another friend of hers right close there. And Ms. Underwood, who's 89, and Ms. Ruth Pierce. Oh, I told you about Ms. Underwood. Ms. Ruth Pierce. I didn't get her age down, but she's right along there with them. And then a cousin of Dr. Brown's, Maggie Brown, who's 93. Well, gals, I wish I were down there with you today. I send you all the love that this KWTO wire will carry, and God bless you, and keep right on. You're not old at all. You're just now getting dry behind the ears, as they used to say. They used to call it years, getting dry behind the ears. Maybe someday, pardon me, wait a minute. Maybe someday I'll get to see some of you. There's a lot of history in those dear old folks, history, and it ought to be salvaged and kept in our Missouri history and in our United States early settlement history and in the county histories. All these old things should be preserved for our coming generations. Nothing fascinates me like the old lore and tales and songs and the old superstitions and riddles and everything of that sort. A history of the race, you know. It isn't just dry facts and dates and numbers that you get in the school books. It's living, breathing, vibrating history. And that reminds me, I like old riddles. A while back, Mrs. Grace Corb at Nevada, Missouri, sent me an old riddle. And here it is. Little Jack Addle sat on a paddle. Green head and yellow toes, tell me that riddle or I'll bite off your nose. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a mallard duck. I don't know much about mallards, but I guess that's a description. Green head and yellow toes. Another thing which carries history of our early civilization is the old quilt patterns that our early pioneer women used, and which, thank heaven, are yet saved, many of them. A lot of people are collecting them in the East and everywhere. A while back, Mrs. Verba Hudson of Marshfield sent me a block already pieced so I could be sure to get it right. Of the old quilt pattern, the Tree of Paradise. It's just lovely. And I was so glad to get it. When cool weather sets in, I'm going to start me a quilt of it. Now, believe it or not, I've never yet pieced a quilt in my life. I've helped others a bit, and I've quilted a little, but I'm going to piece one of my own. I am, so help me. Ada Zeigler of El Dorado Springs sent me a riddle a while back, which brought back memories. It's the first riddle I ever remember of knowing and saying, and we used to play riddles all the time when I was a kid. And I know every one of you heard it. Big at the bottom, little at the top, something in the middle goes flippity-flop. Well, you know what that is, don't you? It's a churn. And a lot of the young folks nowadays never saw a churn. That's the dasher going flippity-flop. You know, nowadays they have riddles and guessing questions, and you don't know much about them when you get through with them. They're sort of staid. But in the old days, they made a little poetic verse out of the riddles. Many people, as I told you, are making collections of these old riddles. I have a poem of Coral Alma Wilson, the beloved Arkansas woman you've heard me speak of so often, who was from way down there in the jumping-off place. She died not too long ago and died all too young, though she was far in her 60s. May have been 70, I don't know what she was. But what a woman she was. Like Mary Elizabeth Mankey, she spent all her time and her talent immortalizing the old-time things. This poem's about something. I wonder how many of you gals around the old 70s and 80s remember. Did you ever stay all night with your girl chum? And you tied your big toes together when you slept together that night, and the string would just be yarn, and, it would break in the night, you know. And the one who had the longest string left on her toe would marry first. You know, the sole aim and end of a girl's life in the old days seemed to be to marry. Oh, yes, she must get her a man and settle down and get a little home and have her quilts and her dishes and make her rag carpets and fix up her home, and that was the happy time to look forward to. And this toe-tying stunt was a lot of fun. Here's Coral's poem. Two giggling gals we used to be talking about our fellers. You remember they used to say, who's your feller? I'd go to spend the night with her, had such a lot to tell her. Next time, she'd come to our house to talk about our fellers. That night, the corners we would name and tie our toes together. The corner that we looked at first, he sure would be our feller. Don't you folks remember naming the corners of the room each for a boy, and the one you looked at first when you woke up, that would be your future husband? My, what innocent good times they had so long ago. Mrs. J.B. Wilson, Tuscumbia, Missouri, wrote me a nice letter, and she particularly wants to know if anyone knows where she could get the old song, "We'll Lay Down the Bible and Go Home." She says they used to sing it years ago after church was dismissed, you know. After they dismissed, then they'd begin, "We lay down the Bible and go home." Everyone would shake hands all over the audience, and then they'd go home. I wish someone could tell me where it might be found. Maybe the dear friend, my dear friend Ida Eastburn, might know about it. Since Mr. Brazil is gone, I look to Ida for these fine old songs of the shape notes. I'm sure this one must be of the old shape note songs. Ida, if you know, you call me up about the song. Well, you know, there's a fellow I never tire of reading after. He's my good friend, Fred Starr of Arkansas. I think he lives at Fayetteville now. I don't know, my time's nearly up. I don't know whether I can read what Fred said. He's a columnist for the Tulsa World, an educated Arkansas boy, educated himself. He's a remarkable writer, especially of Ozark life. His book of The Hills and Us that he sent me is so fascinating you can't lay it down. But here's what he said in a little article not long ago. "Now is the great season of the year in the hills, the season of fly swatting and porch setting and whittling, of looking over crops and digging amongst garden truck and flowers and reading weather signs and sassafras tea drinking and poke eating and dunking corn pone and good rich pot liquor and of sitting on the creek bank watching a bobbing cork." Well, my time's nearly up. I'll finish that for you. I'm always saying I'll finish something I don't. I'll finish it next Saturday, and I'm going to tell you what pot liquor is. A lot of people don't know what pot, it has nothing to do with liquor. Well, goodbye. I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, the creek don't rise.